we've been getting beat up pretty badly on a regular basis from management saying we're not selling any games, we're not selling as many games as we were, we're not selling as many games as we were. And if you guys don't come up with a way to change that, we're throwing you all out of work and we're closing the division.
Come up with some magic bullet, some solution, and maybe we'll give you a chance to see it through. Maybe.
William CEO Neil Nicastro created a program called Pinball 2000 in an attempt to invent something that could make pinball seem new again, or more accurately, something that would make the pinball machines already out in the street seem old. But to do so, management would have to get William 7 pinball design teams to agree in a single direction.
It was like seven street gangs inside this place. And the street gangs had allegiances to the kings. You know, certain kings had dominance. And at the time, Steve Ritchie and Pat Lawler were going at it from the standpoint that, you know, my game sold 15,000, so his game had to sell 18,000. And the other guys, oh, now I got to top that. Because when you own 70% of the market, the competition's not across the street, the competition's down the hall. We were not efficient as a modern corporation. Everyone had devices that did similar things and yet were radically different. I think the flippers were standard, and even those designers would manipulate in one way or another.
Beyond the organizational issues, there was the all-important question whether there was even an exciting new concept for pinball out there to be had. Williams engineers had spent years searching for the next big thing. Vertical pinball machines, games with hundreds of balls, even this prototype three-dimensional game with multiple play fields. But the ideas always had problems. Too expensive, too gimmicky, or simply just not fun enough. None of them were strong enough to be Pinball 2000. None, that is, except for a concept game designer John Popaduke had been toying with, replacing a pinball machine's back glass with a computer monitor that would show not only the score, but animation, movies, even video games that could complement the pinball gameplay. It was decided this would be Pinball 2000. But not everyone was convinced.
It was interesting, but I think a lot of pinball people, the whole idea of a TV monitor and a pinball machine is abhorrent. First thing you do is go, ah, you know, it's not a video game, I'll play pinball. And all the previous attempts at that had been horrible.
Valley had done a pair of games. One was called Baby Pac-Pin, and one was called Granny and the Gators. And those two games had a video monitor that faced you. There are inherent problems in putting a video monitor staring straight at you in a pinball machine. And one of those is, if you're playing a pinball machine, you're looking down and you're watching a ball rolling around. Why do you want to be looking up and watching something that's happening on a video monitor? What you end up with are two completely separate games that you're trying to glue together and convince somebody that they're playing one game. The operators in our business have a long memory. When you show them something like this, they'll say, that's been tried before, it didn't make me a whole lot of money, why is it going to make me money now? So you'd have a strike against you going in and trying to do something like that. We went to a meeting where the CEO of the company was there.
Neil Nicastro is perceptive about entertainment products because he's been in it all his life. I think that he perceived that maybe this wasn't the most exciting thing in the world. And he asked bluntly, who doesn't think that this is the direction we should be taking? And it's a couple of guys, myself and Pat Lawler and Mark Wayne, raised our hands in this room full of sort of the who's who of design and engineering.
And the group was pretty hostile towards us. They looked at us as being troublemakers. Why didn't we want to get on the program? Why weren't we going to help them save the company?
Just shut up and get on the bandwagon and help us make this thing real. Neil put it, you know, just as bluntly. He basically said, you know, three avenues here. You know, you get on this bandwagon, you invent something better, or you get the hell out, because that's all the room there is.
Pat and George knew they were taking a risk. Two of William's best designers were telling their CEO that the company's supposed savior wasn't going to save the company. What's more, they didn't have a better idea. Unless they could come up with an alternative quickly, pinball was finished at Williams. But at about the same time, George and Tom Uban, the software architect for Pinball 2000, stumbled across the same idea, an idea that would utilize an old video game trick.
After going out and eating pizza one night at a local place. We had a Asteroids Deluxe. Asteroid Deluxe, if you know, has a partial reflecting mirror, and you can see through it, and there's cardboard in the back with asteroids on it that you see that are not human, but they add extra background and depth to the CRT's reflection of the game asteroids. And so it came to me that that was a good idea for, you know, that might be able to be applied to pinball.
In fact, it was a good idea. Reflecting a video monitor onto the pinball playfield would let the designers create virtual video objects that could react when hit by the ball. The video and pinball halves of the game wouldn't have to be separate. They could be completely integrated with each other. George and Pat thought the idea was worth exploring.
We talked to a bunch of the guys during a Pinball 2000 meeting, and I got up on the board and I said, you know, I think we can do this.
When they described that, you know, the glass is going to reflect, and, you know, well, the glass is here, and the monitor is there, and the image will be there, and will it be bright enough, and, you know, will it really look, and whatever, I think that I and many just couldn't easily wrap their head around it.
These guys didn't believe us. They basically said, you know, it's going to be this, I don't know. So we said, okay, I think we got to build this and bring it in.
So Pat and George started spending their evenings and weekends building their new machine in Pat's garage.
Over a period of 3 or 4 months, George and I mocked up a model of what we called a hollow pin. We actually, you know, made the cabinet. We made how it worked. We put a monitor in.
We put the thing in Pat's truck and drove it in. Pat had an old big shroud, like a red shroud. I don't know what he was using it for, presentations, you know, very magician-like.
We set it up in a conference room and invited in upper management. Upper management basically came in and they were blown away.
They're going, you know, okay, this is still real pinball. It's just like we're painting the targets with video images, but we're still totally playing pinball, and that's a much better use of the monitor.
All these ideas, one after another, from the entire engineering department, and people smiling again and high-fiving each other. And Neil stood there and he looked up and said, I see the future of pinball, and it's starting right here. We all thought we'd done it. You know, it was just terrific.
You know, it took no time for us to get together and say, you know, this is the way Pinball 2000 is going. And that really, you know, set the tone for the rest of the project.